Hello and welcome to The Shape of Work, a podcast series by SpringWorks. My name is Anoop and I am your host. Each week, we'll be talking to top people managers across the world on the future of work and how it's shaping our workplace. So sit back and get ready to find out more from these movers and shakers as we have a no-holds-barred, anything-goes conversation with them about their journey, their insights, their thoughts, and most importantly, their ideas and vision for the workplace of the future. Join in on the conversation, leave a comment, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button.
Welcome to the Shape of Work podcast, Shailaja. How are you doing today?
I am very well, Abhash. I'm so excited to be here with you. Very, very grateful for you to invite me here.
Fantastic. Shailaja, before we start with some of the questions and themes that I want your perspectives on for our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What do you do? And, a little bit about your career journey. I know it's been a long career, so it would be difficult for you to summarize it, but take a couple of minutes to tell us about that.
So let me see, just a very quick TLDR over here is I'm an executive recruiter at Google. My team and I support hiring leaders for Google Cloud specifically. I have over 20 years of recruiting experience, including being an entrepreneur. Actually, that was the first thing I did outside of school. I went to school thinking I will be an engineer, so I got a degree in computer science. And in my current role, been at Google actually for 4 years now, and in my current role as a talent advisor to our very senior clients, I'm responsible for identifying, attracting, engaging, and hiring the best leaders to build the future of Google Cloud.
Fantastic, fantastic. So executive hiring is something, you said you're a talent advisor at Google and executive hiring is something you are, which you're focusing on. So I want to focus our discussion on that aspect, that side of things. So first question, and, tell us something about executive hiring that companies and recruiters consistently get wrong.
That's a tough one, Abhash. And I'll tell you why it's tough to answer this one. Because there isn't a one-size-that-fits-all approach to executive search, right? Some larger companies have an in-house executive search function, which has some of its own uniqueness to it, while other companies, you have HR leaders that work with external search firms like Korn Ferry or Heidrick & Struggles and hire them to hire for these senior roles. Hmm. And so it's not a blanket set of things that we can point to say, okay, these are the mistakes you want to avoid. But if you think about it, instead, maybe, let's talk about a few observations that I've had and, through my experiences, sure, that I believe would help us deliver like a more robust search process and more business value to the businesses we support. So here, I'd actually like to just quickly say that all the views in this interview are my own. These are my own beliefs and my own learnings. This has no bearing to how or what we do at Google. And these are not Google's thoughts. These are just my own.
Makes
so
sense.
Just wanted to say that. But, two big things that come to my mind where I think more applicable to, in-house executive search teams. If you can build a culture of sharing between talent management, which at some larger companies also call as organization development teams, and executive search teams, right? And I'll tell you why. Because talent management, or OD as they're called, right, they are involved in the development of succession plans, and they therefore have insight into critical talent leadership gaps that exist in the company. They also then have a view into the internal bench strength, right? And what is the up and coming internal talent? So that is what OD does. While on the other hand, executive recruiting have an external approach, right? So they are the experts at market intelligence and they have the best competitor knowledge that exists over there. So when there is good synergy and sharing of information between these two teams, the company can take a very holistic approach to recruiting where internal talent is considered along with external talent to build that leadership search out. So that is one thing I think where we can all add value is ensuring that there is a good culture of sharing there. What this does, you know, Abhash, is it also enables executive recruiters to take a pipelining-based approach to engaging future talent, right? So what do I mean by pipelining? This pipelining approach, when I know from my OD partner that there is a future forecasted role, right, I can start engaging talent even right now before that role opens. Right. What that does is when the role opens, I have a pre-identified talent pool and I reduce my time to hire. And if I reduce my time to hire, that's the biggest business impact I can create for them. Definitely. Getting a leader in place quickly. Definitely. So so that is that one thing over there.
Sure. What do these timelines look like?
So our average time to hire, I think industry average is about 3 to 4 months.
That makes sense because, you know, you are hiring for executive leadership. No, so you mentioned, you know, even before the opening comes out. So how do you figure out something like that?
Yeah, that is where you need that strong partnership with their people partners, either or HR business partners, they're called, or they're called talent management people, right? Because they work with the leaders. And they try to do an organizational health overview where they say, okay, these are very critical talent gaps for our future business strategy to be effective. I need these people. I don't have anyone internal for this. I don't have anyone in the company for this. I have to go external, right? So if that information is established and shared with executive recruiting, I can use that and say, okay, now let me go and pipeline, knowing that I don't have it open now. It will come to me 4 months later.
Understood. Yeah, that makes total sense. And what does the research process look like to once you've figured out that there is, you know, this gap? So what does the process look like to understand the role and profile that the company is looking for?
Yeah. This, I think, is pretty standard. Again, my lens I'm putting on is that of an in-house recruiter, right? What would an in-house recruiter do? So if you have an in-house recruiter, what they would do is they would set up a kickoff meeting with the hiring manager and maybe the people partner as well, because they understand the leadership gaps and they can weigh in. So people partner and hiring manager, a meeting is set up to understand details of the role and the scope of the role. This is what we call an intake. This is very, very key for successful search throughout, right? So now what this meeting does is it gives me an opportunity to set expectations with the hiring manager on what the role and responsibility of, you know, their role and responsibility is, what my role and responsibility is. It helps me tell them, okay, this role historically has taken me 3 or 4 months to hire, so let's please be prepared for that, right? And it helps us align on what frequency of communication they need from us, right? Where we can tell them what the progress on the search is. So all of that is important. That's done in the search kickoff. And when you try to get into the details of the role, the few things you try to get out of the hiring manager is, why is the role open, right? What does success look like for that role? What are some of the leadership competencies and experiences that are required to be successful in that role? And how or what key outcomes will be expected from that leader, right? So it could be improving profitability by X or reducing operating cost by Y. But what it does is when you ask those questions, it gets the hiring manager to think more clearly so that they actually write it down, right? And they have it in front of them. So we get all of that information from this meeting. What we also try to do is all of this information then helps us build that 5-minute elevator pitch, which we can then deliver to candidates. When I'm engaging with a candidate, I have all the information, which I succinctly deliver in a 5-minute elevator pitch. And I use that in my conversations with candidates. And in the same meeting, I will try to do two other things. One is establish who the interviewers are, right? And who are the key people to sell the candidate. One is an assessment piece, but you need someone to be a good person to sell. Yeah. So I get that as well. And I get a list of target companies that are established jointly by me having the competitor knowledge and market knowledge, and from what the hiring manager knows that, you know, successful people are coming from. So we get all of that information. That's the first part, which is the kickoff. That's super, super key for success. Yeah. Take all of that information and we create a market map, right? So I have my target company list. I understand what success looks like and I understand what experiences the person needs to have. So I'll create a market map now based on that information. And through that full list, it'll help me see, is this list too small? Do I need to expand it further? If I need to expand it further, then I need to think creatively on what other target companies or what are some of those parallel industries that I can also include in my search.
Hmm. Very interesting stuff. I mean, you know, one of the things that I do with this podcast is sort of satiate my curiosity, because, you know, yes. I'm not from an HR background. So it's always interesting to, you know, ask questions that I would typically ask a person from the HR function if I met them, you know, in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
But interestingly, you know, you mentioned setting those expectations with the hiring manager. And this is something that typically comes up in my conversations with HR professional from across the board in terms of, you know, experiences, that, mm-hmm. you know, asking them the right questions is definitely key, because they might not even know the things they don't know, right? So
they don't know. Exactly.
You don't know what you don't know, that sort of thing.
Yes.
But in trying to, you know, work with the hiring manager, do you also sort of see, you know, taking their help in sort of tapping into their network, using their influence, because, yes. you know, these people are very high up in the rung because of the fact that, you know, they're hiring managers for leadership. So what does that look like?
Yeah, see, you know, actually, that will depend on the culture from company to company. We put a lot of importance on recruiting and on talent. Mm. And recruiting is almost in the fabric of others, right? Success is measured by that. So recruiting is very important part of their own success story over here. In a lot of companies over here, actually. So it depends on the culture you have created. Mm. But if you think about it, Abhash, the stakes are so high for executive search, right? If we don't hire the leader, the product does not get built, the product does not get shipped. That affects company level OKRs, right? Yeah, yeah. So it's directly dependent on the hiring manager's success. So generally, I have never seen issues with engaging a hiring manager. Mm. Now, I think to engage, get them further engaged and to help leverage their networks, what we can do is understand the fact that their main job is really to manage their organizations, be the leader, and ship the products, right? So they're very busy.
Okay.
Succinct communications and starting your email with what the asks are, doing all the research, saying, hey, hiring manager, I see you are connected to XYZ on LinkedIn in first degree. They are a great fit for my role. If you want to reach out to the hiring manager for the role, please do that. But can you please introduce me to them, right? Okay. If everything is buttoned up well and the ask is clear, I generally see people are helpful.
Very nice. So almost, you know, doing all the work for them and then, you know, just ask for that connect.
Correct. In fact, you know, we go to the extent of even writing up the email that they need to send to the candidate. Okay. And I've written it up. So all they have to do is just push it out.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Like you said, you know, these are busy people and I mean, just hitting the send button is what might be the best approach there. But as a hiring leader who has been in the system for so long, not just with your current company, you know, you have worked with several companies. Do you have like a candidate relationship management tool that you have, you know, you've spoken to several candidates in the past, who might not have been a fit for that role, for that company, but you feel like, you know, do you build that relationship over time? What does that look like?
That is super important in our role as executive recruiters, right? Because one, you need to have a very broad view of what is the business strategy and what does Google require, right? What are some of the products that we are building, right? So keeping that view in mind, engage talent for the future. This may not be someone who fits the current role I'm open in, but I think it is a good for whichever company you're working for, right? It's a good for the company candidate. Take that approach to it and to building relationships. I think a good practice is to stay in touch with your candidates on a quarterly basis, especially at the senior levels, right? Just a little note, to stay in touch is a good way to do it.
Nice.
And mostly people will respond, because at that level, you see, what's in it for them is also the fact that the number of roles become fewer and fewer. The more senior you get in the organization, when you want to change, it's a long search journey for them as well. So if you've established yourself as a credible recruiter in their eyes, they will want to connect with you. Nice. They will want to stay in touch with you. So
that's a great point. Yeah. So getting a little tactical here, you know, you mentioned, I mean, I was going to ask about the cadence. You already mentioned that quarterly. What does this note look like? What is the sort of conversation, communication that is happening between you as a recruiter and this potential candidate?
Yeah, so again, I take a very personalized approach, right? I've done all my research prior. There are so many ways of doing it. There are plugins, there are tools where you know what candidates are saying. The social media profiles will tell you more than enough to make it not a cold call, but it's a warm call and a warm outreach to them, right? And you approach it from the point of view that, hey, I'd love to just learn a little more about you, what your motivations are, how are you doing? Would you be open to hearing opportunities about X project at Y company? Right?
Sort of an opt-in, getting an opt-in from them.
Yes, just getting an opt-in from them. Would this pique your interest for you to learn more about it? And it is my intention to just be an advocate for you, for me to understand what your motivations are, what are your strengths that you're bringing. So it's a very open approach, which gives them a way to even say no, right? If they're not interested, they can just say no. And so that's the way I approach it.
Interesting. Now, taking changing gears, if I may, let's talk. And, you know, you have also been an entrepreneur in your past, but let's talk about early stage companies, right? And with founders, of course, you know, the first step will be to look inside your circle, your network, friends of friends, and you've built this company. You have, like, you know, 25, 30, 35 people in your company, which is my hypothesis, is when the company starts to, I mean, the founder has to go outside of their network to hire now. So say, you know, this is a 50, 100%, 150, 200%, whatever company, and is now looking to bring in leaders so that the, you know, the founder can focus on what they are best at. So say a COO hire, a CMO, or even say a VP of sales, VP of marketing, that sort of stuff, right? How can first-time founders at early stage companies that are growing, how can they build an exec leadership team? Because, you know, they don't have the resources of a big company, like one of the FANG companies, for example. So how do they convince these people to come work for them?
No, that is true, right? So a few things that need to be true to be able to attract talent in this highly competitive landscape is that you need to have an established North Star vision and mission and have deep belief in it, right? why are you building the product? What is the product market size? What is the product market fit going to look like? So have your story really well lined up, right? And there is actually an Adam Grant video which talks a little bit about this, but the short answer over there is that research tells us that pre-IPO companies are successful because they focus on hiring for culture fit. And what culture fit means is you need to hire people who are very mission driven, who believe in your values, who believe in what you're doing. And therefore you'll end up hiring very similar people, similar beliefs. You get along well, you spend more time together, you'll build product. That's what an early stage company needs, right? You correctly said it. The best way to hire for those people is from referrals, right? Now, if it is already at a point where you feel that, okay, I'm not getting any more from my own referrals. If this is a VC-funded company, one thought that comes to my mind is all VCs have an in-house talent team. Talent teams have well-established networks. So leveraging that will be the first thing to do, right? The second thing I think is very important is for the founder to know what are some of these special interest groups, what are some of the meetups where people who I want are a part of, right? Where do those discussions happen, right? Figuring out those lists, posting it out there is one way to do that. And I mean, at some point, I think it makes sense to do your due diligence to figure out who the top vendors are. You could go two routes, right? One is either go with an established search firm and tell them what your needs are, right? That is one. Or you hire a contract recruiter in-house where you have more control over the interview process, over what the reach outs is and all of that. Those are the few methods of solving it when you scale. But I would say advice to, you know, if I had to say advice to founders would be pre-IPO, definitely focus your assessment on passion for the mission.
No, that makes total sense. Now you mentioned, you know, working with contract recruiters in-house or maybe, you know, external search firms. What are some of the things that founders should keep in mind when evaluating these, either of the two ways, right?
That's a good question. I mean, I think the model works differently, maybe in India and the US. So I'll have to think about how it will be, you know, relevant to the Indian scenario. But a few things I would say, if you want flexibility around the amount of work that gets done, and you want more control on the messaging that you're sending to this talent pool, then hire a contract recruiter in-house to do that, where you can have some control, right?
Correct.
Your branding is important. Your outreach is important initially, right? That can be controlled.
Correct. You can almost have like a daily stand-up meeting with this person, right? If they are in-house.
Correct. And I think even if cost is a factor to consider, I think contract recruiters in-house make more sense, especially if you're scaling. So if you think you're going to hire for 20 open roles, then contract recruiter makes sense because your costs paying a search firm will be huge otherwise.
Correct. No, that makes sense. And what are some of the...
And actually, on the other side, I would say if you're hiring for a very specific domain, so if I'm hiring a security specialist with something, right?
Sure.
And I'm not connected to that talent pool at all. It's going to be very hard for me to make connections. If I know that a vendor is specialized in security, I would then go for that route. One, because it's just one or two roles. And two, because there I know who the, you know, person in the communities is. And I will get, quicker turnaround.
Got it. And what are some of the pitfalls that, you know, while doing executive hiring, that teams, hiring managers, recruiters should be looking out for?
Yeah, I have a few over here, Abhash. I think ensuring top management support and approval before kicking out the search is very, very important, because otherwise they will rethink and they will cancel your search. And, you know, there's a huge loss of cost, time, money, energy.
Correct.
Making sure you have your approvals is one. Ensuring all stakeholders understand their role, because you cannot do it alone. If the interviewers don't make time to interview, if they don't give you good quality feedback, right, things don't move, right?
Yeah.
So everyone who's a part of the process should know what their roles are.
Mm.
So having an alignment meeting with everyone is a way to do that. And setting expectations clearly and communicating them often. Right. We cannot assume that a leader knows it'll take 4 months to hire. They need to be prepared to manage everything that comes with that. Right. They will be in that role for 4 months till they don't hire someone. Right. Setting that is very important. And then a rigorous research process. That'll be the fourth thing, which means give the search enough time to develop in the beginning, which is 2-3 weeks. Lot of hiring managers say, oh, I have the perfect candidate. This one it is, you know, without due diligence done. This is a referral. I worked with him or her at XYZ. Let's get the offer out. Instead, if you want to really, like everyone is talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. If you really want to hire underrepresented talent, giving the 3 weeks in the beginning and really being mindful, especially about opening up the aperture in the beginning and saying, okay, I'm going to look differently. I have different Boolean searches I'm going to do. I'm going to intentionally reach out to these people is very important. So
yeah.
I think
those are valid points. Yeah. Shailja, one last question before we wrap it up. You know, you have been successful in this role. You've been doing it for quite a while. Can you, and I'm pretty sure, you know, there are listeners who would want to be where you are. Maybe, you know, they are early in their career path.
Yeah.
What are, you know, two or three things that you will, you know, advise them to focus on to get to where you are today?
That's a great question, Abhash. Very reflective. you know, I think a few things. One is to not be afraid to take risks. I will say that investing in getting different experiences, you know, even if it is laterally, getting those different experiences is very important. So if they aspire to be an executive recruiter, the elements that are important in the job are the ability to interact with senior leaders, the ability to influence without authority, the ability to engage talent in the market, and to have good business acumen. So for me, actually, Abhash, my story is such, this was literally my dream job. And for 2 years within Google, I had been trying to get into exec recruiting, but I wasn't able to. What I did was, now when I reflect back, I think about it and I said, oh, now was the right time, because what it did was, I have experiences in managing very senior clients. I have experiences in being at a startup, which was pre-IPO, went IPO, integrated back into Google. So I have that point of view, and I've managed teams. I've motivated recruiters. So I have that experience as well. I've managed projects which help me develop my influencing capability. So I've constantly invested in experiences which will give me the traits to be a successful executive recruiter. So my 2 cents will be, to always invest in yourself and be bold and take the risks. And you have a vision for yourself. And I'm sure if you take the right, steps to get there, you will absolutely get there.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's a great point, Shailaja. If listeners want to connect with you, reach out to you, which is the best platform to do that?
I think just LinkedIn. The best. Send me an email and I'll be happy to connect.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Shailaja, for coming on the Shape of Work podcast and sharing your perspectives with us. I think listeners who want to tread the path that you have people who are very close to where you are and want to use some of those pointers that you said on exec hiring, pitfalls to avoid and such, we'll definitely find a lot of value from this conversation. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Abhash. It was really nice being with you and spending this hour with you. I hope people have some good learnings to go with.